So our text is from our gospel reading, Matthew 22, verse 4. These words, come to the wedding feast. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text comes from a parable of Jesus, a story describing what life in him through faith in him actually is, part of it. It is, so Jesus, like a wedding feast, where everything, the best of everything, is made ready for those invited to enjoy. So similarly, we heard in the Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, there the invitation going out to the children of Israel, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what's not bread and your wages for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. Similarly to that, Jesus would invite those listening to him, hearing him as he preached and taught, come to me. All who labor, are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So in all three cases, the parable of Jesus, the preaching of the prophet Isaiah, and the preaching of Jesus himself, the message is clear. God, our Heavenly Father, invites us to a wonderful life lived in and through and by him, and that is a life lived in and through and by his Son, Jesus Christ. For that ultimately is what the kingdom of heaven is in the here and now. The kingdom of heaven is a life we live daily through faith in Jesus, a life of peace, a life of comfort and even joy, as our consciences daily are at rest from fear and anguish, guilt and shame for the things that we have done in our lives that we should not have done, but also from the realization of what we are in the here and now, and that is what we should not be. So truly, truly, it's a marvelous invitation extended to us. Extended to all mankind by our Creator. Come to the wedding feast, for all is now prepared. Or more exactly, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. So souls that are at peace. Now, another name for the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. And another name is the body of Christ, and another name is the church, that is the ecclesia, the assembly, all those who regularly gather around the word of God to hear that word and also to receive the gifts of the wedding banquet of the parable, and that is the sacraments. Nowadays, of course, we understand this somewhat because we still have weddings and wedding banquets. Although we don't call them that exactly, but that's what they are. And invitations do go out for us to attend such banquets. The rule of thumb for the couples who are sending out those invitations, preparing those banquets, is only that about a third of those invited will actually show up. Only a third. Now, why only a third? Well, the wedding falls on a bad day, or it's too far away for people to travel to, or, well, the couple isn't that well known for other people to spend the time and energy to attend the wedding and the banquet. And so what happens? They get sent a lot of nice cards and some nice notes and some money, and all sorts of consciences then are assuaged for the people that didn't attend. We've all been there, right? We've all done that. Of course, in the gospel reading, the parable of Jesus about the wedding banquet, those invited also turned down the invitation, even going so far as to just simply ignore it. The one returning to work on his farm, another to his business, and still others, well, they take the messengers who came with such a gracious and wonderful invitation to attend a wedding banquet thrown by the king for his son. Yes, they take those messengers and they kill them. Now, that might sound a bit harsh. I mean, who'd do such a thing? When we get wedding invitations, we usually don't just toss them in the trash, and we certainly don't rough up the postal carrier for delivering them to our mailbox. So was Jesus exaggerating here with such a description of what happened to the servants that were sent out to announce the wedding banquet to which all were invited? No. For the reference in the parable is to the prophets of the Old Testament. The prophets of the Old Testament, the servants of our heavenly King, our Creator, who were sent out by Him to announce His grace and mercy and peace for the children of Israel, the establishment of His covenant with them, His promises through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the children of Israel were not interested. In fact, they were hostile. Hostile towards the servants of our heavenly King, the prophets. So Isaiah, legend has it, was sawn in two. And Jeremiah, stoned like Stephen in the book of Acts. And Amos, tortured to death. And it's just because of this treatment of the servants of God, the prophets of the Old Testament, that later Jesus, our Savior, would weep over Jerusalem, saying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." So what's the point of all of this? What's the point of it all? Well, what I would suggest, especially nowadays, is that often we think that the reason why people don't come to church, to the ecclesia, the gathering of the children of God around His gifts of word and sacrament, to receive those gifts, is the gifts themselves and how they're wrapped. If only such thinking goes, we could wrap the gifts of word and sacrament with the proper wrapping paper. Or more to the point of our parable, if only the menu for our feast within the kingdom of heaven was appealing, then people would come, then people would show up, then people would want to come and willingly rejoice in the kingdom of God. The point of the parable, however, coupled with the Old Testament prophecy, is that the issue is not the menu for the feast, nor the gifts that would be given there. The point is that the invitation itself is turned down by those invited. The invitation is turned down. Why? Not because of the wedding, not because of the gifts, because their lives are too important, and their work is too important, and how they think the world should be too important to be bothered even by an invitation from God Himself to come and share in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is, to celebrate the forgiveness of sin which is ours in Christ, even now at this moment. But that's how the world is. Doesn't want the gifts of God. But it does want the gifts of men, but not even then. For example, back in July, the world was all excited by a lavish wedding in India. Maybe you remember this. The wedding of a daughter of one tycoon to the son of another tycoon. You can read about it online when you go home today. Don't do it right now. Bill Gates was there at that wedding. Mark Zuckerberg was there. Rihanna performed. And Justin Bieber. It's estimated that that wedding for 1,200 guests who were invited cost over $600 million. $600 million. Yet, did everyone invited even to that wedding attend? I would guess no. I'm guessing that there were some who had other things to do. Extreme example, right? Kind of crazy, with curiosity perhaps driving many to attend just to see what it would be like, but others still not attending. So even the gifts of man don't always matter. Well, the spiritual banquet that we are invited to by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a life in which our souls can be and are at rest, has a value that is priceless beyond measure. A life in which we live assured that our Father in heaven is guiding us and the Son is directing us and the Holy Spirit is guarding and keeping us. And who can put a price on that? Rejection of the invitation to that life, to that banquet, to that celebration, can't be blamed on that which is offered. So the blame must lie and does lie on those who have simply rejected that invitation. And the blame certainly cannot lie on the invitation or those who deliver the invitation or the one who sends out the invitation, for at the end of the day, all that is offered through that invitation is what? It's goodness. It's peace. It's joy and it's love, the things that are so many people throughout the world daily are looking for and hoping to find and yet would seek elsewhere. So what can we do? What can we do when we know someone who's been invited to the kingdom of heaven, to a life in Christ, to church, and they've rejected that invitation and done so with some really lame excuses like, oh, I'm too busy, or oh, I have to work, or I have so much on my mind, the person that invited me, they're lame, or I'm not really that interested in wedding banquets. What do we do? What do we do? Well, we gently and kindly, with love, urge such a person to reconsider the invitation, the wondrous invitation that has been extended to them. Now, here we can think of Naaman the leper. Naaman the leper in the Old Testament who travels to Israel from Syria, hoping that he can be healed of his leprosy by the prophet Elisha. And when he comes to the door of the house of Elisha there in Israel, Elisha doesn't even come out to see him, but he sends word that he should wash 7 times in the Jordan to be healed of his leprosy. Well, Naaman, he doesn't like that. He's expecting so much more, some hocus pocus, some ritual of one form or another, that, you know, some real religiosity. But he doesn't get that, so he gets mad and he leaves. But what then do his servants do? They gently encourage Naaman to actually do what Elisha would have him do. The servants do. And when Naaman does it, when he washes 7 times in the Jordan River, he's healed of his leprosy. So there's a nice example for us. When dealing with those around us who indeed have been invited to the banquet of the kingdom of heaven but have made this or that excuse as to why they can't attend, let's be patient and remind them and encourage them and maybe even with some humor cajole them, reminding them to that which they are invited. But on the other hand, let's not get discouraged. Let's not get discouraged because of a rejection to the banquet by those who've been invited. I mean, we can do that, can't we? Especially if we're the only member of our family that goes to church, or the only couple in our friendship circle of couples who attend church, or the only one that we know at work that goes to church, or the only one of our friends in junior high or high school that attends church. Naaman, after all, was the only Syrian at that time who was cured of his leprosy in Israel. Doubtless there were plenty of others who were not. So then the invitation, our invitation to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the church, should not be seen as some sort of odd event to which we respond and which somehow makes us then odd. No. For the entire world is invited, everyone. The gospel invitation to believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, it goes out to everyone. The invitation to live daily in the forgiveness of sin, and then eternally so, is for all. That fact that we responded to the invitation, therefore, it doesn't make us odd. It's the rejection of that invitation, that wondrous invitation by so many, that's just simply so sad. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.